Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
You see it working, Mari? Amen. I got the young deacons in training. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got it? Just have to press the record. Is it on? All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Just thank God for another opportunity to share his word with his people. Amen. And I just want to pray that God would move. Pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us, oh God. Allow us to have open ears, open eyes, and an open heart to hear from you. And dear God, I pray that God, as your word speaks to us, that it would transform, it would change, it would even convict us so that we can be right and in right standing with you through your son. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today, I'm going to preach on a message called Better or Bitter. Or you could flip them, bitter or better. Right? But I believe that many times in this life, we go through a lot of things. And going through those things will allow us to either get one or two of those ways. Anybody ever made a mistake in life? The Bible says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so everybody has made a mistake. But the thing about our mistakes, sometimes we learn the most from those, right? Have you ever gotten a car accident before? Anybody been in an accident? And it was your fault. What you learn from that? Right? Don't do that again. And it sticks with you because there was a consequence because of what you did. Today we had a basketball tournament, and, you know, as you coach the kids, there's certain things that resonate in your spirit. And when I was getting ready to preach, I was like, okay, I'm driving home and Markella hears me. I'm like, okay, God, I heard you. And I start writing some notes down, but we had some tough losses today. And in those tough losses though, I tell the kids, that's when you learn the most about you. That's when you learn, okay, what I need to work on. I say, when you beat people bad and it's not even a contest, you don't think about anything. But when you lose, you're like, okay, I can get better by doing this, or I can do better at doing that. I was telling me and another coach, we were talking about when we were younger, we used to play older people, and people that were better than us, we would race them. We would try to beat them, and it made you give your all. And then if you didn't win, you're like, dang, I had this one point where I could have did this, right? But I wasn't able to do it, you know? And we have to not allow our mistakes or our losses to allow us to be bitter. We have to allow them to make us better, amen? And I'm talking about not just sports losses. I know even with me and my business, some of the times where I got rejected, it actually helped me grow. And it made me cry. Right? But I was like, okay, I'm going to get better. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get better. Amen. And we have to have that in our spirit. And I believe that God has placed a word in my heart today that would encourage you. We're going to go first to Romans chapter 8, verse 24. This is a theme scripture for today, and in this scripture, we see that God has a plan for everything that you go through. Amen? I've been in one car accident in my life, thank God. This person in front of me, I'm not going to say too much about that person, but we were driving, and actually, it's going to be verse 28. I'm sorry. We were driving, and they just bought this car. They're halfway out. You know, there's a stop sign, right? Supposed to stop right here, but they're way past the stop sign, but they're stopped in the middle of the street. So I stop, throwing my brakes so I don't hit them. Like, what are you doing? All right, so I let him go. We get to the next stop. It's green light. She goes, stops again for no reason, and I end up sliding and bumping the back of her bumper. The whole bumper fell off. She just bought this car. So she was like, I wanted to see the police and all this, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this lady. So now Precious knows if I see people like that, I get away from them. Right, I'm going around, I'm going another way, I'm slowing down, or I'm going to pass them up immediately because I know what happened in that situation before. So what I'm saying is, even in our spiritual walk, there's sometimes that we fall, and when we fall, we can get bitter or we can get better. See, the great thing about God is, and I'm going to get to this scripture later, but it says that we have an advocate that even if we do sin, And if you guys know what an advocate is somebody that goes, my dad is a lawyer, that's like an advocate who fights for your behalf, right? See, the devil is an accuser of those that sin. You guys know what that means? He's like, oh, it's his fault. It was him. That guy did it. Hey, everybody, look, it was that person right there. He's guilty. But Jesus is saying, no, I've covered that. Hey, lawyer, judge, we've taken this case here. We did this. We had to do it. We've done this. So now we should not be considered guilty any longer. That's what Jesus did. But the devil is constantly trying to prosecute you. But thank God that God, Jesus, is working things on our behalf. Amen. And it says this in verse 28 of chapter 8, it says, and we know. Somebody, do you know this? It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All right? It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, when I read this passage of scripture, what I do see is the importance that we must be connected with God. See, I'm going to just tell you this. If you're not connected with God, the things that happen in your life are not going to work for your good. Right? Why do I say that? Because you have no advocate. You have nobody that's fighting for your cause. And we're gonna look at a passage in the Bible. You may have heard it before, but I want us to look at what could have happened in this situation. But we must understand that God has a purpose and a plan for everything we go through. Especially as believers. Even before somebody gets saved, there is things that God is orchestrating. And he's putting things in place. And he's saying, okay, look, I'm going to use that later. Don't worry. That we've heard people say, I can turn your mess into a message. I can turn your testimony from a test, right? I mean, they got a whole bunch of things that they come up with those things. But we really got to believe that. Amen. I can look at my current situation and I'm like, God, my kids go to private school, and because they go to private school, when private school is not in session, I have easy time paying bills. As soon as the private school comes up and those bills come, I have to work like a madman. So I'll be out even after this driving, doing Uber Eats or whatever I can to make sure I pay those bills. But I could be out there like, dang, God, why is this happening? Or I can be like, thank you, God, for this opportunity. I can say, thank you, God, for the opportunity to make money through a system like this where somebody wants McDonald's at midnight and they're right down the street, but they don't want to drive, so they're going to order it with Uber. And I'm like, praise God. I make money doing that, right? But we have to know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Somebody say, I love God. And say, I'm called according to his purpose. So we are connected with him, so things will work to our good. Amen. Now let's go to one of the disciples in the Bible. He had a situation. Somebody say, tell your neighbor it was a situation. All right, this disciple is probably the most condemned disciple in the Bible. When people preach about, well, he's the second most condemned. Judas condemned himself. But Peter, right? Peter had all sorts of situations. He had all sorts of, if you want to call it problems, he had those problems. When Jesus was being taken, he's the one that cut the guy's ear off. And Jesus had to be like, hey, yo, I could do it another way. You know, just put that down. Right? He also had to tell him to get behind me, Satan, because Satan is trying to speak to you or through you for you to tell me not to do what God has called me to do. Right? He's the same one that was rebuked after he walked on water because he took his eyes off of Jesus, right? So Peter, we see a lot about Peter, but what we got to catch about Peter is God still used him. Amen? So let's go to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to talk about Peter denying Jesus. Because even in this, he could have got bitter and said, man, I deny God. There's no way I can turn back from this. Right? Or he could have said, I'm going to get better. I'm not going to allow this to stop me. I made that mistake one time. I'm not going to do it again. Amen? So it says in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read verse 31 through 34 first. All right? And go ahead and pull that up when you got it, Mike. Can you pull all three of those scriptures up at the same time? 31 through 34, please. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 22, 31 through 34. And it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. All right. So first of all, we see Jesus already doing what the Bible says he's doing. He's fighting on behalf of Peter. Right. So what does that say? The devil wanted Peter. The devil was fighting to take Peter away from Jesus. Now, I'm going to be real. I believe the devil does that to all of us. But thank God we have an advocate who is fighting on our behalf. Amen. But it says, but I have prayed for you. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. See, in the middle of our mistakes, at times our faith fails. We get to the point where we say, God, I messed up. I don't know if I can do this, Lord. It's too hard. I tried it. But see, I know that the Bible says when I am weak, he is strong. So you have to look at things at a different way. See, some people, when they got a glass of water, it's half empty because they're about to drink it all. Other people that don't want to, have you ever had a kid that was like, I got a glass of water, it's halfway, and they're like, it's half full because they don't want to drink it. So your perspective changes a lot of things. But it says, but I have prayed for you, this is what Jesus said, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, this is like when I read this scripture, I don't know if you ever read scripture sometimes and they just blow your mind when you read them. It's like a little explosion goes off in your brain, right? It was like when I read this a while ago, this stood out to me. Because Jesus already says he's going to have to return in this passage. So it says that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. All right. Strengthen your brothers. Strengthen the people when you have returned to me. See, this is the thing. When you go through things, we all know people that have testimonies, right? And they share that testimony, and usually they share that testimony when they are on the other side. And what does the Bible say about our testimonies? It says that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. So through our testimonies, even though at that time it wasn't something that we were like, oh, God, thank you for it, you learn from it. And it helps somebody else, right? But it says, after that, strengthen your brothers. See, the great thing is, if you get bitter, you can't continue the mission that we have, that is to strengthen one another. That is the whole goal of being a believer. It's not just about you being strong. Have you ever seen a one-man army for real? Like, you know, I know we watch movies and it's like, oh, man, that one-man guy, He killed everybody and they couldn't stop him. And, you know, we had Samson in the Bible. So, hey, we roll with that. But outside of that, that's not really going to happen. Nowadays, they just get a missile and blow you up and it's done. Right? But if you have an army full of people a number that is innumerous, which you can't count, right? Did I say that word right? Innumerable. That's a hard army to stop, no matter what you have. So our key, and this is just a side note, is to strengthen our brothers and our sisters. Somebody say strengthen. There is strength in numbers. I said that last week too, okay? There's strength in numbers. It's not just a warrior's slogan. It says right here, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And see, sometimes we act like we got it all together. God, there ain't no way on earth that I'm going to mess this thing up. God, I'm sold out for you, right? Come on, man. Come on. Can we be for real? When we act like we ain't going to mess up, we like, God, man, look, you gave me strength. I'm going to do it. We quoting scriptures, da, 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 da. But Jesus knows what's up. And I'm going to say something about that scripture. In verse 33, it says, Lord, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And one thing about our words, they're binding because he went to both of those, right? But sometimes we don't know what we're saying. And thank God he doesn't hold us to it. Because have you ever said something like, God, if you get me out this time, I promise I will never do that again. I mean, come on. I remember I always talk about it when we were having weigh-ins for football back in the day. They used to weigh us. If you weren't a certain weight, you couldn't play. And that, I still feel like that's horrible, right? So there was days before I was on the treadmill because I was always like on a bubble. I wasn't like super heavy, but I was a bigger kid. Usually I was like Markayla, like I was tall like Markayla, and my legs was always big. So that's where my weight was. So when I was playing football, I used to have to get on the treadmill so I can play the next day. So I put the bags on. You guys remember that? They had the garbage bags. You would put those over your bodies, get on there, run, trying to get it off. Okay, come on, I got to get 2 pounds. And then when you in the line, and people was like, Lord, you know, if I could just make it. And I don't know, I think the weight limits were low back then, just I'm saying. Now they have no weights. There's a kid on my son's team big as me, and I'd be like, golly, man. And my son's like, I don't want to hit him. I said, you got to hit him, son. Come on, you know, hit him. Anyway, I didn't have to do that. Praise God. We had weight limits. But we get ourselves in predicaments when we say, God, really what happens here is Peter was going to do it in his own strength. And that's when you get in trouble. You can't fight the devil in your own strength. The Bible even says temptation comes from yourself. So you can't even protect yourself from temptation without God's strength. Amen? So Peter, you know, he's ride or die. He's like, God, I'm not, nah. Hey, I'm riding with you, Lord, which means I'm staying with you. Then he said, Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you would deny 3 times that you even know me. Let's drop down to verse 54. Let's see the story. We're going to go 54 through 62, but you don't got to put all those up at the same time. It's 54. Yeah, that one. Having arrested him, Jesus, they led Jesus and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance because Peter's going to go to prison with them. Right? And he said, what was the other thing he said? I'll even die with you. All right, let's next verse. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I don't know him. When you are in a situation, because this only came up because there was going to be a consequence. Peter was like, nah, right now I got to act like, you know, I got to fend for myself. Jesus is, I mean, to be real, I don't think he thought Jesus was going to go into prison like that. I don't think he, because remember, the disciples were even arguing about who's the greatest, because they're like, Jesus, he's going to establish a kingdom. We're going to be with him. He's going to rule. Ain't nobody going to, because, I mean, it was prophesied his kingdom would see no end. But they don't know that's spiritual and not a physical thing. It will be physical soon. But he doesn't see that, but so he's in this situation, somebody say situation, where he's caught up. If he knows him, he might go to prison. And I don't know, this lady, she's not like a, I don't think she's in the courts saying, hey, that person knows him. But it was just the fact that he was so close to the prison. So he says, I don't know him. Have you ever did that? Hey, man, do you believe the Bible is true? You know, sometimes. I mean, I'll say this. Sometimes when we talk to people from other belief systems, when they say things like, hey, man, Christianity and this one is the same. And if we be like, yeah, sure. It's almost like we're denying, because it's not the same. And I know we don't, you know, we try to be cordial. We don't want to argue with people. But I had to stop saying, yeah, okay, yeah. Even though you're not really agreeing with it, you said, yeah, to them, they think it's the same. So I had to be like, you know, Jesus makes it a little bit different. Just a tad bit different. You know, you guys have a lot of similarities, but Jesus changes everything. And we have to be willing to say that even in the midst of a situation. Let's keep going. Then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. I must have missed one of the verses. I didn't read one of them, but that's okay. So he denied him three times. And one of the passages says, not only did he deny him, he gave some choice words. Just to show, and it's funny because sometimes we want to talk like the world to prove we're not like God. You ever did something where you just wanted to fit in with everybody else? Man, I'm a Christian, but not today. Right? That's what happens. That's what Peter did. He denied Jesus because he wanted to save himself. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible in Matthew. It talks about in Matthew 27, I can't remember the verse. I have it in one of my songs, so that's how I remember sometimes. But in this scripture, it says, he who tries to save his life will lose his life. But he who gives his life for my sake will gain his life. Right? In that passage, what we see is Peter was trying to save himself instead of allowing God to save himself. Now, the great thing about Peter, somebody say great thing. He did go to prison. He did die. And matter of fact, when he died for Jesus, he didn't even want to die like Jesus because he was like, I'm not worthy. So he was a disciple that was hung upside down. And one of the things that we see is that Jesus had to restore, somebody say restore, had to restore Peter so that he would not be bitter. Because imagine if Peter never got restored, what kind of person he would be. And I can tell you, it's the same kind of people that come to church and they were hurt by the church or they did something wrong and they never really asked for forgiveness. And they're holding it up. You know, I used to go to church, but I messed up. Right? Have you ever heard somebody with a testimony like that? Man, I messed things up and I don't know if God, you know, I know, and they say it like this. I don't know if God will, I don't know. You know, they have that excuse. God might not forgive me for that. But God doesn't want you to be bitter. He doesn't want you to soak in what you've done wrong. Even before Peter denied him, Jesus told him, and when you come back, be strengthened and strengthen your brothers. Right? What would have happened if Peter didn't come back? Remember, Peter is the after Jesus left, Peter was the leader for the most part. Peter led, and Jesus called him, even though there was a whole bunch of bad things about Peter. Peter's, because of his faith, Peter, Jesus called him the rock. Says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And Peter led like a rock the church at that time because he was restored. And what I'm saying is today, many of us, even if we have situations in our lives, we allow them to make us bitter, or we mess up and we're like, dang, I don't know if God, we hold on to things instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to learn from that. God, I need your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness. Help me not to do that again, but help me to become better because of what I went through. That's what God wants to do. Like I said, we was talking about the basketball games earlier. If you ever been in like a championship game and you lost that game, and you know, people live their whole lives to go win those games, that's when really people start questioning who they are, right? I was talking to somebody today about Steph Curry. They're like, oh, Steph Curry, he doesn't, in the playoffs, he never makes the big shots. And I was like, what are you saying, bro? He still averaged 30 points. You know, like, what does this man got to do? And they're like, oh, 30 points is normal. I'm like, yo, there's not even 10 people that do that. But how many of you want to know that after Steph Curry missed that shot, he been in the gym all year working on it. Off season. Working on getting better. So if he gets that shot again, he's trying to make it. He didn't get bitter and be like, oh, man, I'm never playing basketball again. I missed a shot that could have took us to game seven, right? He wouldn't even have won the whole series. It just would have took him to game seven. But it caused him to say, I have to get better. What are the things that go on in your life? The battles that you're facing? Are they causing you to say, God, help these things to make me better? Or are they gonna, are we saying, Lord, I messed up too much, and now we soak in what we go through? Or we allow the enemy to speak to us and say, oh, yeah, you are guilty. There's no hope for you. Because that's what he's doing. There's two type of believers. Or there's two type of people, those who accept that I'm forgiven and those that wallow in their sin. Last passage, I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. That got a lot of twos in there. 1 John 2, verse 1 through 2. And this is the scripture about Jesus being the advocate for us. Amen? And after this, I will be done. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. This is what I was talking about earlier. And he himself is the propitiation. Now, to be real, we don't say that word no more. Right? You never said, hey, I'm going to go to the store. I need the propitiation. I can't even say the word clean. Propitiation, right? But it says, and he himself is the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. See, look, when you see this thing right here, even the whole world, he paid for their sins. But see, many people are like, you know, especially the ones that know about God. You know, how many of us got friends that know about God, but they're like, I'm still going to do what I want to do? Because, you know, God is, He's a good guy. Yeah, oh yeah, you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. How come you don't go? You know, I just, you know, they got a whole bunch of things that they say these things, and it's they want to sound good, but they won't fully commit. But the great thing about God is he paid for our sins. And since he paid for our sins, when he is advocating for us, he can say it's already paid for. Imagine that. The sentence has already been paid. You see somebody that's on death row and they're just like, oh, what happened? Oh, the sentence has already been paid. His court is dismissed. That would that make a difference? Because that's what we were, facing death. Headed to the chair. And Jesus said, nah, I'll take that for you. But we cannot allow the things that we go through to hinder us from growing and becoming better. We got to say, God, let all the things that I go through help me become better. I don't know why I'm going through this thing. And sometimes it's trials and tribulations. My mom talks about all the different things that went on with her body, and obviously it made her better. Now, she could have been like, God, how in the world are, you know, I served you, Lord. You heard people say these kind of things before. I done this for you, God. I done this. I done this. But they're bitter. But sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say, God, what is it inside of me? And I'm not going to say that every ailment that you go through is like God trying to make you better, because there's things that happen in the natural. But even through what you go through, you can still grow. It can still allow you to be a better, if you got health issues, it can help you become a better eater. Right? It can help you start changing the way you think. Right? If you had a mind that was messed up, okay, God, how can I meditate on you? We start changing these things around so that God can get the glory even through the things that we go through. So we can either be bitter or we can be better, but I choose to be better. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that your word today will encourage us. Despite what many of us may be going through, despite the places that we are in life, oh God, allow it to build us up, to shape us, to be all that you've called us to be, God. Your word says that everything that we do.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.